Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I know we wanted him to stay, but they couldn't ignore the losses or the team in disarray. And I heard that there's no special play. The team's just playing freely. And now it's been 7 games. I'm seeing shots be made, assisted every play. Smelling salts may be the perfect energy. Is this winning streak lasting through the week? Is the beam okay? We've seen it every day. What have you done? You've won 7 straight, and it's been so much fun. ODC, and I'm loving it all on the Deucimo pod. Just talking some ball. It's time for Big Purple Beam. I'm gonna keep on looking at the Big Purple Beam. I'm gonna keep on shining on the G1C. I'm gonna keep on looking at the Big Purple Beam. Big Purple Beam.
Woo! Wow. The fog added to it.
Simon.
Amazing. Let's give it up. Morgan, Reagan, and who could forget the great Coach Nick?
That's ridiculous. Fire, you know, the laser.
What happened?
I didn't have it up. 3, 2, 1, hit my music.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo.
Oh, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, and what a time it is to be a Kings fan. The Sacramento Kings are rolling, officially the hottest team in the NBA. The Cavs' win streak is all over, so the Kings won. That, do the math, carry the 5, 6, 7, 7. Seven wins in a row. The longest winning streak in the NBA goes to the Sacramento Kings after they went to Chicago today and grinded out a victory over the tough offense of the Chicago Bulls, 124-119 in Chicago. Sacramento Kings are 2-0 on their latest three-game road trip, with Milwaukee coming up next. That seven-game win streak, by the way, the longest win streak since November 2022. They got De'Aaron Fox back in the lineup today. He had 26 points, including 9 in the fourth quarter. Debo made his return to Chi-Town. He also had 9 points in the fourth quarter, and the Kings were able to hang on and beat the Bulls in this game. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
So good. Amazing. Great. It was an early game, which was kind of weird when it's a 12:30 start and you have to get like all your makeup on and shit. But watching the game, I felt energetic going into it. I think I was excited. I wasn't nervous. I was curious how it was going to look with De'Aaron back in the fold. But I wasn't concerned.
Yeah, and it got off to kind of a weird start in this game for sure.
Yes.
Especially with how well the Kings have been playing defense. Before this game, over the 6-game win streak, the Kings were number 1 in the NBA in defensive rating. I don't know, small sample size, but
doesn't matter. That's
not bad at all, yeah, right? And the offense was clicking too. Today, the defense definitely took a step back, especially in that first half when Josh Giddey was looking like LeBron James going coast to coast, attacking the cup at ease. And I'm going, all right, guys. Early start, let's rub the sleepy.
He was attacking the cup, but at least he was missing at the rim at times.
Later on, but not in the first quarter.
Second quarter, he was.
He definitely missed some stuff late, but he got some easy looks.
Yes.
And Zach LaVine was the man in this one. And I thought the Kings' pace wasn't great early. It didn't help that they were missing threes left and right. That first half was really not good for the Kings from three-point land. They were 1 of 7 from three in that first quarter. In the first half, Morgan, I got to go back and look at my notes here that I, of course, closed. At halftime, the Kings, they were 4 of 18 from downtown, 22%. The Bulls, 8 of 18 for 44%.
Yeah, the three-point shooting was not looking pretty. They were getting some good looks, you know, because the Bulls' defense, not that great at all. But then the Kings matched their defensive intensity, I thought, at first. The Bulls' defensive intensity, where it was just like both teams, it didn't feel like a lot of defense was being played. I thought the Kings were doing a much better job of obviously getting to the paint, but when they were missing some of these more open looks from three is when I was like, no, we're going to have one of those.
They were hanging tough despite the fact. Here's what I love about tonight's game. One.
Today's.
You're going to take the win. Yeah. Right, no shit. Okay, it's 7 in a row. It's a road game. You were down 8 in the third quarter late, and you rallied by making hustle plays, getting second chance opportunities, big offensive rebounds, and then really turning on the pace offensively in that second half. Not every game's going to be pretty. And if the Kings played defense like they did at times in this game against Milwaukee or some other teams, it's going to be really problematic. But tonight, I love that offensively they were not allowing the missed threes to dictate what they did.
The
Bulls are the worst team in the league when it comes to points in the paint. They allow just over 56 a game.
Makes sense.
What did Sacramento have in points in the paint?
56!
56 points in the paint. Chicago does a good job defending the three, holding teams to about 34% from downtown. The Kings shot 33%. So the numbers kind of matched up a bit, but the Kings made sure to attack the rim.
Yep.
And then they got hot in that third quarter, knocking down 6 of 11 from 3.
The one thing that they were consistent with throughout this entire game was the way that they were moving the ball and moving without the ball. And that's how they were able to score and get into the paint, not just going downhill at times. I mean, they also had their line drive looks, but they also had backdoor cuts. They had people with some flex cuts along the baseline. They had you know, Domas and Monk in the two-man game. Oh, those man, two combined, dude. 17 assists, just those two alone. And so you looked at the way that the ball had that special energy in it tonight, and that was even happening even when they were shooting like shit.
33 assists and just 7 turnovers for the Kings. And the Bulls scored just 3 points off those 7 turnovers.
Love it.
That's an incredible number.
It is.
Right? Like 33 assists and 7 turnovers. So there's a lot to like offensively. I went back and was watching Zach LaVine, who's just been on a tear. He now has 6 straight games with 30 or more.
Uh-huh.
The Bulls also playing without Coby White today, which was significant because he has killed the Sacramento Kings the last couple of visits. In fact, he had 37 in Sacramento last year, averaged 31.5 in the 2 games against the Kings. LaVine had 36 points in this game, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. He was 12 of 24, 5 of 8 from downtown. I went back and watched all those 3-point attempts.
So glad you did.
I'd say like 3, maybe 4 of them were like, oh, good contest. The rest, really disappointing. And you cannot give Zach LaVine space. There was one play where Herter just, I'm sorry, you can't play off him that much. He's a good 3-point shooter. He showed that. And I know for Herter's, from Herter's standpoint, he's worried about getting blown by. But you also have to trust the help a little bit. And the Kings have been helping much more effectively lately defensively. You got to be in his airspace a little bit. The other ones, DeMar DeRozan with like a bad closeout. Uh-huh. Some of them were in transition where you have to pick up LaVine faster in transition. When he gets across the midcourt line, that guy is ready to shoot. And so when you wait until he gets right into his spot, that's tough. And so I think Sacramento, even though like LaVine's been on a tear, could have played much better defense on LaVine, especially on his 3-point attempts.
Yeah, but did you already mention then who the two were that made his life a little bit more difficult on those attempts?
Keegan and Keon.
Yeah.
They did a good job with some contests, but LaVine was just, he's on a tear right now, and I give him a lot of credit because he's gone through a lot of shit injury-wise over his career, and you know the amount of crap he was getting last year where it sounded like the Bulls were literally trying to donate him to teams, and teams like, no, we're good, because that contract, because of some of the health issues. He's having the best year of his career.
Yeah.
He's been healthy. He's attacking. He's knocking down shots. He's athletic. He's really thriving in Billy Donovan's offense this year, an offense that takes the second most threes in the NBA right behind Boston and also makes the second most threes in the league behind the Boston Celtics. He's been awesome this year, and there are times that I thought the Kings could have done a little better on him.
That's fine. That's fair. That is absolutely fair. I felt like the Kings as a whole coming into this game didn't look as locked in defensively from the start. But also, we're talking about going up against a Bulls good offense. They push the shit out of the basketball. They, you know, in with their fast break points,
they're in the league.
Yeah. And so like you, they take the second most threes in the league. Boston is the only team ahead of them. So they like to jack up a whole bunch of threes. They've been able to see some success with some of these things. And you saw even the other night, they dropped like 138 over the Wizards, which you would expect over the Wizards. But again, they score. And I thought the Kings weren't giving them enough
resistance.
Yeah, there just wasn't enough for me right away, and the ball, it just felt like it was going up and down the floor, which can be fun, but this Kings team has been so much better defensively, so that's why in the second half when they started making their adjustments, Deuce, I was so impressed. I was impressed because there was in-game adjustments and they were obvious adjustments defensively.
They decided to switch up the matchup a couple of times on LaVine to give him different looks. Like they had Keegan on him, they had Keon, Monk got the task. I think Fox, the guy was unbelievable. But I thought one of the biggest things that they did better was more offensively, and that was just making sure to push the pace, trusting it.
Play like, fast.
This team has to play fast. And there, I don't know if it was because De'Aaron was playing his first game in a while, right? He missed a few games, so he's been out well over a week, hasn't had any activity. I guess he was telling Mark Jones that after that fall against Memphis, he didn't sleep that night because he was in that much pain. He couldn't get comfortable. So he gave it a go tonight. He said after the game that he was definitely like winded to start the game.
Yeah.
He took his game to another level in the second half and pushed. The Kings just push. And that just creates good opportunities. And then even when they were missing shots, it was the activity on the glass. Another game where they rebound well. The Kings' rebounding percentage since Doug Christie took over has been near the top of the NBA. They out-rebounded Chicago tonight, 54-46. But most importantly, Morgan, I thought the late third quarter really changed the dynamic of the game. The Kings were down with about 4:15 to go, 88-80.
Mm-hmm.
And they just slowly chipped away. Get back to the basics. Get the ball moving. I want nonstop movement, cutting, and that Monk Sabonis pick and roll. You mentioned the two-man game. Oof. It's not just about creating looks for Monk or Sabonis. Mm-mm. It can do that, but those teams really play that. It's about getting the ball moving, and the next play, when they go down eight, they go to pick and roll. It leads to a wide open Kevin Herter three. He knocks it down.
And so you look at that third quarter, and so you look at the way that they started really locking in on what they wanted to do offensively with moving the ball and everything. And I thought there was a few times as well where you see those screen assists from Domas, whether it's in a pick and roll or he's just slipping or whatever, he's creating that extra lane, that extra space for whoever it is, whether it's to drive and dish or drive all the way to the cup, because they have that open look.
Yeah, he leads the NBA in screen assists per game, 6.6 a game. He had 8 in this game. And that, we'll save this bonus talk for a little bit, because he was awesome again. And then you had the play. Kings are down 7. It's 90-83. The little things, dude. Devin Carter on attack mode slips to the ground, stays with it, goes to the ground, searching, doesn't panic, finds Trey Lyles, late shot clock, buries a shot. And you're like, okay, they're fighting now. There's definitely a theme here. They're grinding this out. It's 91-85. Devin Carter is defending THT, Talen Horton-Tucker, on a drive. And, you know, THT's long. He's got good, you know, decent size,
big,
huge wingspan, big. Devin Carter stays with him, has a great contest. And then off the miss, Lyles gets a rebound, gets it to Fox. They get it back to Lyles. It's a bucket for the lane. I'm like, dude, that's when what we've seen during this win streak is off misses, off makes. The Kings are getting that ball ahead fast and getting early offense.
I thought Trey Lyles and Devin Carter were so big within the energy of that third, too.
I completely agree.
Getting a hand on the ball, like you mentioned about Devin Carter, getting to the ground, getting back up. Like, Trey Lyles couldn't hit a three if his life depended on it. He was 0-for-6, but he kept shooting. He kept getting open looks, but then he was trying to make an impact in other ways. Like I just said, getting his hand on the ball, crashing the boards. He finished with 8 rebounds in his 18 minutes, you know? So like, you're seeing guys just, it's not about just buying into their role. It's about wanting to do the extra things for each other and not just getting theirs. It's like they want to make sure that they're creating that second opportunity, those extra plays. And I felt like there's so many second chance points in that third.
11 second chance points, 5 offensive rebounds in the third, and felt like a lot of them came in the final 3 minutes when the Kings were facing their largest deficit of the game. I wrote this down a minute to go in the quarter. It's a 2-point game, 93-91. Devin Carter has a big tip on a second chance, gets it to Lyles. He goes to the free throw line. Then at the end of the quarter, when Debo misses the shot, Lyles and Devin Carter go for the rebound. Who was it for the Bulls that was trying to get to? Jalen Smith. They all try to get it. I think Devin Carter got a hand on it. It ends up going to Fox in the corner, who hits the three, gives the Kings the lead. So the Kings go from down 8 with 4:15 to go. Then at the end of the third, they're up 2 going into the fourth.
And De'Aaron was missing so many threes. That must have been like his second three of the night or what. I forget. I think there's one before it, but whatever. Either way, it was just the momentum of everyone doing something extra to make that moment happen. And in that third quarter was when I felt the real shift of like, our text messages show it. You know, you're worried, and then the end of the third happens, and I'm like, are you still? Because that was fun. And you could feel the different energy from this team.
And that's what you want from your bench, is like, it doesn't matter how many minutes you play, okay? Can you be impactful in your stints? And I think the difference right now for this bench unit is that it's not a 2-minute stint and they're getting pulled because of mistake. They're going to get some minutes.
Yep.
You're going to get yours. You're not going to get maybe as many minutes as you want, but we're going to let you play out there.
Yep.
Devin Carter, his minutes, he played what?
11
minutes? Impactful minutes.
Kevin Herter.
Kevin Huerter, I'm so glad you brought him up, okay? Yeah. Kevin Huerter tonight played 10 minutes and 27 seconds. And it, typically, if you see that from Kevin this year, you go, oh.
What did he do wrong?
He was shitty early. He sat the rest of the way. Couldn't play defense.
No.
His role right now is they're changing it up. This was the first time that Doug Christie had like pretty much a full complement of players, right? Because, you know, Fox was out, Keegan was out, Devin wasn't back yet. This is the first game we've seen it with like Fox, Keegan, and Devin all playing at one time. So it's going to be interesting to see how he distributed the minutes. So Keon plays just under 20. Devin plays just about 11. Kevin, you, going back to him, 10 minutes and 27 seconds. Kevin played well tonight. And I don't know if it's a small dose thing for him, but for him to come in and give you 7 points, four assists, three rebounds on 3 of 4 shooting, knocking down a three, and that's big.
And it's the four assists for me. A lot of those happened early, but we already talked about Monk with, why do I have my assist numbers up here?
What's up?
Oh, there we go. It wasn't, okay. So Monk with 9 assists, Sabonis with 8. The next guy with the most assists, Kevin Huerter with 4.
Yep.
In those minutes, impactful minutes, making everyone better around him, not just taking shots. And I just love whatever their mindset is when they're out there on the floor. And maybe it's something where they're playing, you know, we've talked about this so many times, where they are playing freely, because he knows that he's not going out there, and if he makes a mistake, he's going to get taken out. He's only going to get taken out, or someone else is going to play more than him because they're just playing better, not because of him playing worse. And I think even just something as simple as that perspective can change someone's confidence oh so much.
Just play your game out there. And he did, especially when he got the chance early. It was the off-ball movement. He was cutting. Sabonis found him on a double team, and he got double teamed under the basket. What did Huerter do? He cut. Sabonis found him. Easy scores, right? And then just making plays out there. So... Kevin Huerter, you know, there's not often you go, oh, he played 10 minutes. He was impactful. He was impactful in this game. And so huge shout out to the bench, because I think everyone stepped up, even, you know, Keon playing a bit of a different role, right? You know, he's been starting, he's played heavy minutes. We've seen him play like 38 minutes a game. He had that double OT game against Miami, playing a shit ton of minutes with guys out. His role adjusts, but his approach to the game can't, right? He had 3 deflections. He knocked down 3 of 5 shots. He hit 2 of 4 from downtown, had 8 points and 2 rebounds and a steal in this game. Also, the offensive rebounding I want to go back to for a second, because we talked about the second chance points for the Kings. They had 12 offensive rebounds in this game. 4 from Sabonis, 4 from Fox, 1 from Monk, and 3 guys off the bench had 1 offensive rebound. Huerter, Lyles, and Carter. That is finding a way to impact the game in your minutes. Huge shout out to a bench that hasn't been good this year, but it looks like it's coming together.
And finding a way to impact the game when other shit might not be working. When your defense isn't up to par, let's just say, throughout the entire game, or your 3-point shots aren't falling. What else can you do great? What else can you just do out there on the floor to change the game? And this was one of those games that I really felt that. It wasn't desperate. It wasn't like they were playing a Bulls team that hasn't been playing well. They have been playing well.
Yep.
You know, and I am just, I think about how hard it is to win in the NBA, and this Kings team just got their 7th win, 2nd one on this road trip.
In the second half, Sacramento scored them 63-56. The Kings were 9 for 21 from 3 in the second half. Fox had 17 of his 26 points in the second half on 5 of 7 shooting. 16 of the Kings' 21 second chance points came in the second half as well. Mm. How about the end of this game, too, when the Kings finally take control? It's 122-119 with about 14.1 seconds to go.
Oh, I know where
Bulls
this is
have
going.
The ball after a timeout.
Yep.
A 5-second violation. I was watching some of the Bulls post-game show, and the way they started the show was like, you know, I don't really complain about the refs much, and it's a shame. It's a shame. We, you know, the Bulls played hard. The Kings played hard. But for Ed Malloy to decide a game like that on a 5-second violation, it's hard to put words to that. I'm like, whoa, I got to go back and see this shit, because am I crazy? I'm sitting there. That was a 5-second violation. I went out, and I'm sure this is scientific, right? Going with my iPhone and timing it.
It's very scientific.
It was over 5 seconds. Well, get the ball in.
A 5 second call isn't really subjective, like as much as like a I don't know, when someone gets fouled and it's marginal contact or whatever. 5 second call is pretty much what it is. Like eye test, you count, whatever. You saw the counting happen and it was 5 seconds. Unless that's not how you count to five, unless there's something else I missed, it was 5 seconds. What a shitty turnover.
Dude, brutal.
That was
hard. Cost him the game. Yep. Cost him the game.
Yep.
So that was interesting to see. Also, some people in the chat mentioning bench minutes tonight. Yeah, the bench is playing more minutes now, which mm-hmm. is definitely something you want to see. De'Aaron Fox played just under 33 minutes. I imagine he'll be closer to 35, and maybe you get the minute down for some other guys because DeRozan, Murray, Sabonis, and Monk all played about 36 to 37 minutes. Let's talk about De'Aaron Fox's game tonight, Morgan. In his return, can I just say, I love reading our live chat, but last game after the Kings had won their 6 in a row, it was full of like anti De'Aaron Fox stuff. And I'm like, man, this is weird. Like people are commenting after like, God, the live chat was really going on at Fox. I'm like, yeah, was he not part of the first half of the win streak when they won 3 in a row or not? Oh, he was. Okay. So I was like today, I'm like, dude, the Kings have to win today because Fox is back. And you know damn well if the Kings lose today, it's the podcast. It's going to be like, De'Aaron Fox, it changes the dynamic of the team. I don't know, man. De'Aaron got off to kind of a sluggish start, it felt like, trying to get his win back. Down the stretch, I thought he was great, man. He was in attack mode. He hit some big threes. He was pushing the pace, getting inside the paint, making good decisions. He had one paint attack where the defense recovered, right? He gave him a couple of pump fakes, spun it out, and kicked out to the corner for Keegan. He nailed a three in that play. So Fox ends up with 26 points, 9 rebounds. He also had 3 assists in this game, 9 of 16. Four of eight from three.
The 9 rebounds. I mean, the 9 rebounds alone for him, right? And that was just him being active within every possession that he could be. But then you look at him from the field, 9 of 16. He found a way to start making shots. Yeah. He turned it on, whatever he needed to do, especially after sitting out a couple of games. So being able to do that, getting to the free throw line, only missing one, going 4 or 5. Yeah, I loved what we saw from him. I do love that he kept shooting the three when it felt like it was not going to go in for anyone. It was not going in for him, and he finished 4 of 8 from beyond the arc.
Yeah, and congratulations to him because he made some more Kings history on the franchise leaderboard past Tiny Archibald for fourth all time. In the Sacramento era, he is now right behind Mitch Richmond.
Wow.
For most points as a Sacramento Kings player.
Do you know how close it is?
It's like 3,000-ish.
Okay. Away,
so,
okay.
Yeah. But, you know, De'Aaron Fox has been putting the ball in the hoop a lot this year.
He sure has.
So congratulations to him. What else did you want that jumped out to you before we move on to talk about some other items of the game?
Let's see. I wanted to touch on Keegan's game just because I think over this stretch, what we're seeing from him, his confidence from three-point land, but the fact that we can talk about his defense consistently every single night, almost every single possession from him, has been so exciting that the Kings can rely on such a big body in his, that when you have Tatum or you have Zach LaVine or whoever it is, and you need to make sure you have strength and length and size out there, that you have him. And the fact that he is now starting to find his groove a little bit on the offensive end. I'm so happy that this is happening for him. And it's been, you know, a lot since obviously the coaching change. So just like however he's playing differently since then, I mean, it seems like a lot of the guys, but with him specifically, it's nice that it's going in that direction.
And I think now he is 15 of his last 30 from three, 50% over the last four games. You're right. Him knocking down shots and, you know, how much of it is because you got a couple of games off?
That too.
The other item that came out after the podcast we did the other night, Chris Biederman of the B talked to some Kings players about the fact that the Kings have changed up how they're like going about their business with practice, less practice.
Oh.
And there's some interesting quotes from the players. talking about the practice where Christy kind of wants him to save their legs. According to the Bee, Mike Brown was notorious for practicing as often as the NBA schedule allows, even after long flights on the road to get players to shake the cobwebs from their travel. Monk said, "We're not doing nothing. It's save your legs. Go in there and get it done in an hour instead of standing up for 2 hours doing a lot." So they would go land somewhere and then go to practice. And you think about, you know, maybe early in the year, it's not a big deal. But when the games are condensed, like they were to start the season, and then you're landing and you're sitting around after a flight, you're standing on the court going over things, even if it's through walkthroughs.
Yeah.
And it's like film and 2 hours of practice. It's mentally draining too.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And like people can say it's their job. They get paid millions. Yeah. Okay. But if you were getting paid millions to work like 24 hours a day, it still would be a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's 24, but even if it's 18 hours in a day, you know, and like these, some of these guys are addicted to basketball anyway. So they're going back to a room and, you know, getting treatment and watching more basketball. So it's like, yeah, finding a balance is always needed.
Kevin Herter told the Bee that the Kings are still watching film, scouting opponents, and walking through game plans on the court during practice, but they are scrimmaging far less, if at all. He said, talking to some of the guys who play heavier minutes, they definitely feel more fresh to start games. I think even mentally, just the grind of the season, we're already in January, and you get to the point in this season, you play a lot of games. As much as it's a physical grind, it's a mental grind. Being halfway there and needing every win, in some ways, we pump the brakes a little bit, but still trusting us to get our work in. It's been well received. So Sabonis also agreed, saying, yeah, of course, if you can rest, you're going to be more fresh for games. Doug says, I have to understand, even when I was with the Kings, we play a similar style, like super fast. We're getting at it. So when you play that style, you as a coach, you have to be conscious of how to approach practice and making sure that they're getting what they need. So it just kind of varies, to be honest with you. I just try to observe, keep my ear to the street, and try to get a good feel for who they are, what they need more than anything, and get myself out of the way.
Cool.
So, I mean, there's got to be something to it. Going back to, like, Keegan knocking down shots, maybe getting a couple of days off, maybe not practicing as much. This group plays, they're playing with more pace.
It's not just a narrative. I mean, it's something that we've obviously heard for a while. And I mean, I personally thought that everyone was just a little soft, that they didn't want to practice all the time because like I said, I've been a part of teams. I've seen teams that have seen so much success with that style, but not everybody's going to be the same. And depending on your personnel, you got not only just on your personnel, like just on everything, you have to find your balance as a manager, a boss, a coach. And you have to understand your personnel and who you're dealing with. And I think with this change that Doug got to see it also one way and probably gets to make that right without just being like, oh, we're just going to give you guys what you want because like everyone's complaining about practice. It's like, no. Like, how do we find that balance? And that's what I love about Doug. Like, he's always about learning and educating himself on how to find the balance, how he can do better as a coach, but also how he can make these players better mentally and physically.
And the evidence early on, it's working.
Yeah.
They're 7-1 since he's taken over.
Yeah.
They've won 7 straight games. Yeah. They're 20-19. Like, I mean, what do you want to say? Mitch in the live chat says, money doesn't make you immune from fatigue. That's a great
100%.
Point. 100%. Yes. I thought there was another interesting comment after Mitch from somebody. Oh, Alex says, teenagers treated as adults moment. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like, hey, we're That's trusting good, you.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get your work in. You guys are all pros. Go out there and play ball. Let's execute. And I see it on the court too. The Kings were just making some plays offensively tonight that you go, oh, that was not a design play. That was just feel. That is just.
Yes. I noticed that too. So many different times.
The ball is definitely popping more.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a credit to the having a team that just wants to do the right thing, that enjoys moving the ball.
You have high IQ players that are willing and wanting to play as a team. I think they have more fun when they are playing for each other, whether that's passing the ball around, getting someone the best shot, having a screen assist, whatever that is in their mind as fun basketball. That is the style that they are trying to execute, that they are trying to play. And there's a lot of trust in them with doing it, and it's working.
Shout out to everyone hanging out with us in the live stream tonight. If you haven't done it yet, make sure to hit the thumbs up. Make sure you're subscribed. All this helps our channel grow. A shout out to one of our listeners, also a Discord person, Jamar. He's a big Chipotle fan. And at one point in this season, he said he would not consume Chipotle until the Kings were above 500. Well, Morgan Reagan, I've got some breaking news at this hour. After 49 days without Chipotle, Jamar is able to eat Chipotle again.
Congratulations, Jamar.
49 days.
Wow. And didn't he eat Chipotle like every, like literally every day?
Yeah. Probably too much queso. You know what I mean? He probably lost some weight not eating Chipotle, right?
Oh my God.
I'm guessing.
Wow.
Eating Chipotle every day is not great, right?
I mean, unless you're only eating one thing. That doesn't sound healthy. One meal a day.
Well, dude, Chipotle was about to go out of business. Like the stock prices had tumbled down. Investor meetings going, wait, the future of our company is all in the hands of the Sacramento Kings?
That's why the CEO raised their prices.
And somehow, someway, Jamar, after 49 days, I don't know if he really did it. I want to trust him. Like, did he really do it? But I hope he is pigging out on Chipotle.
What's like a bootleg Chipotle? Like, what if he went to like Freebird or something?
Is that bootleg?
Is that even open anymore?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it would be bootleg.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure. Hey, Jamar, go ham tonight. I'm talking
queso.
Massive burrito, double queso, double meat, double guac, chips and guac, a quesadilla. What else?
No, when like, so
go hard.
Balance. Remember when we were just talking about how like Doug Christie and the Kings and balance and you just win? Don't you want to win in life? Balance with your meal.
Go hard tonight. Seven in a row. Come on, man. Okay. Come on, man. Next guy we got to talk about is Domantas Sabonis.
Oh, yes.
So last game, he sets the record for the Kings with 28 rebounds in the game. Tonight, 22 points, 16 rebounds, 8 assists. Morgan mentioned the screen assists. He had 8 of those. He did it on 8 of 11 shooting. He was 1 of 2 from 3, 5 of 6 at the free throw line, playing 37 minutes. This guy, even like a night like this, where I don't feel like he is the headline, but in some ways you go, he should have been the headline. He's been playing great basketball, and it's not just stat wise, right? Like, I know the stats, people look at it when they don't watch the game, like, oh, empty calories, he just gets rebounds. No, the guy is battling his ass off, and I think he's doing it on both ends.
He is, and he's doing it consistently. I think that's been the most exciting thing about Domas, is that you're seeing it, it's consistent, it's impactful. There's even times where he starts complaining to the ref, or, you know, like he's getting frustrated, not getting the call, but he doesn't allow it to fully take him out of the game like we've seen before. He's not turning the ball over as much, and even if he is, he's making up for it. You know, like all these little things that he's doing out there on the court that I think his teammates really trust that he's only trying to make them better at times, right? You look at him in the two-man game, especially with Malik Monk, and sometimes it's the other way around with Sabonis making that pocket pass and leading Monk to the basket. And other times it's obviously Monk giving Sabonis that pass, knowing that he's going to throw it down as soon as he gets to the rim. I love what we're seeing, but I think it's hilarious sometimes how Domas doesn't get talked about as a big in this league because he's not a rim protector and blocking a whole bunch of shots. And like, what else does this guy need to do to get the respect as a big? Like, we started respecting bigs as soon as they were able to stretch the floor
and now he's
shooting the three, and he's doing that. So he's on the inside, on the outside, and doing both at such a high level. Yeah, it's really fun watching him.
Yeah, it really is. And he chatted with G-Man after the game. I want to note something. So,
what?
You know, G-Man, Gary Gerald, the longtime radio voice of the Kings, he's at every game, but every broadcast position is different. In Sacramento, he used to be courtside for years and years, and then toward the end of Arco, they moved him to the first row of the upper level. Now he's at the top of the lower level, which is a great seat,
sure,
but he used to be courtside. Well, at the United Center, he gets to be courtside.
Aww.
And you could just hear it in his voice.
Levine driving, misses, that'll do it. And Malik Monk has the rebound. And the Sacramento Kings are going to have a 7-game winning streak. It's the first time since 2022 behind us. Light the beam, champ. as the Kings get the victory, 124-119.
So that was cute and all, but was even cuter. He talked to Domantas Sabonis after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Here's their conversation.
How you doing, man? Give me a fist bump.
Good. I'm happy. I'll give you a hug.
I never get a chance to be courtside to see you up close and personal like this after a Kings win. Seven consecutive victories. How satisfying is this one?
It's great. You know, it was a lot of fun. Today was a tough one. You know, we came out slow, but the most important thing is getting the win, and we got the win.
And there was a different times, you know, the ups and downs. I think this game had 28 lead changes in it. It's just back and forth, turnovers at a minimum. It was entertaining from our standpoint. Is it fun as a player when you're involved in a game like this?
It's a lot of fun. You know, this group, we believe we're going to win fourth quarter. You know, it's a winning time, you know, and we got two of the best players in the clutch, you know, so... your anxiety gets lower.
What's it like when you're battling Vucevic? You know, two kind of throwback, old-school type centers.
Big. You know, it's tough. You know, he has great touch, very smart player, getting guys open. At the same time, he can shoot the ball like crazy. So, you know, you got to be ready at all times.
When you look at the final score, everybody's in double figures in the starting five. Fox hit four threes today. Keegan Murray knocks down three of them. Debo scores 21 points. Is there anything in particular that stands out in the offensive end?
We're just moving the ball. I feel like that pace is going quicker. You know, coach is letting me be creative. You know, I get the ball. I'm just looking for guys setting screens, rolling, you know, and it's opening up driving lanes for people.
And it's so entertaining to watch. We're just relishing it. Yeah. And now we're going to savor a couple of hours to savor it and go on to Milwaukee tomorrow.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Give me another ball. Man, I never get to do that. I love it. Domantas Sabonis.
Okay. Where do we start with that? One. The fact that G-Man asked for a fist bump and Sabonis gives him a hug. Okay. You're getting me. The whole time Sabonis is talking, I can't see it, but I feel it and I hear it. The guy has to have a smile on his face.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you make of what he had to say?
I think how you set it all up really gave me that perspective and that visual of what that is for G-Man. G-Man loves basketball. And as he does get older, it's going to be harder and harder to see the further and further you are in certain arenas. So for him to still cherish the arenas that he gets to sit up and watch the game up close where he loves calling it most, I love that. For Sabonis to not only give G-Man the love that he deserves, like understanding G-Man and how iconic he is to Sacramento, in Sacramento, love that. And then when Sabonis was talking about being creative,
that jumped out to me big time.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Not being told what to do, just Doug trusting him to be a creative, do what he needs to do as a hooper.
Man. Yeah, there's something freeing when you, well, this is so stupid. God, let me rephrase it. There's something freeing about playing with freedom. That was so stupid.
Oh, yeah, that would have been really dumb. Bad. Yeah, I'm so glad you didn't say that loud.
Jebediah took it out. Thanks, dude. Appreciate it. You have my back today.
Edit, delete.
Thanks, dude. They didn't hear any of that you said?
No, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Anyway, we've had bosses in our lives that maybe don't let you cook sometimes. They overthink things, right? And so it sounds like to me, Sabonis feels like he's allowed to cook a little bit. He's the chef.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the chef behind him going, hey, no, stir like this. No. Do this now. It's like, no. Let me, it's going to taste good. It's going to taste good. Just trust me. It's not going to be exactly how you want it.
And by the way, sometimes that chef does great within the development of setting up a culture and setting up what success of or execution of great food can look like. But that chef also has to let them fly, let them spread their wings and fly and be free and like have their own techniques of stirring something up to make it all fluffy and beautiful and good.
Yeah. Now if Sabonis couldn't cook, no, I'm going to hold your hand a little bit. We're going to guide you and get you to become a better
cook.
You're
going to follow the instructions and you're not just going to like do a little thing of salt. You're going to have to do a tablespoon, whatever.
But Domantas Sabonis, he could cook.
Mwah!
Mwah! Let him cook. Well, the results are, you know, I asked you this the other day, want to make it this a big thing, okay? But I do wonder, like, and you don't even have to answer this, okay?
Oh,
this is just more just a,
I know.
Think about this, and I'm wondering what the chat thinks. What do you think Mike Brown is thinking right now? Do you think like this is eating at him a little bit? It's not all his fault. We've already said this wasn't all his fault.
Let me answer your question by asking you a question.
Okay.
Deuce, if you were Mike Brown, how would you be feeling right now? It doesn't matter that you have $20 million sitting with you in the bank. You love basketball that much. You love coaching that much. 100 billion percent. Even if you love De'Aaron Fox, they were at dinner the other night. That was posted. Whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Like, you want success for the people you love, but you also gotta hate seeing some of this, right?
It's not about hate. You know, I think if I were him now, after the first few games, I'd be like, okay, whatever. But now it's like, wow, they are like the hottest team in the league. They're 7-1. They're playing the style that I wanted them to play, but I think I would get to the point of like, okay, what? Because you go through the 7 stages, right? And I mean, breaking news, we have both been fired before.
Yeah.
What a mistake by the company at the time. Idiots.
Morons. Anyway,
but you do go, in all seriousness, you do go through the 7 stages of grief, right? Yeah. And you get anger, sad, for sure, all that. And then you do, there's a little party that's like, oh, shit. You're thinking, well, what could I have done better? Even
reflection.
For me, I reflect and go, I could have done this better. It wouldn't have mattered.
There was nothing.
Right. They were idiots. But do you think like I would think he would be reflecting a little bit and be like, God, man, maybe there was something I could have done with this. Like I could have eased back a little bit. He was definitely set on doing it kind of his way. And he made that clear multiple times. Like he was going to do it his way and be satisfied. He wanted to walk away with the job going, I did everything I could.
What he could have done for the organization was win and he could have been fine. Right. Mm-hmm. What I believe he felt was probably desperation in his job, in keeping everyone, you know, making everyone still believe. So that desperation bled into the way that he coached. And ultimately, not only did it not lead to wins, it led to unhappy, you know, players or players just like not liking the style or their role. And so now I hope that he can reflect as someone who loves the game of basketball and, I mean, has obviously talked so much, broken down so many different things to the media, to people over time within his time in Sacramento that you'd think that, like, this would be something that he would just learn from and make tweaks from going forward.
Tay says, why wasn't it his fault? Crappy lineups, minute distribution, over-practicing, throwing players under the bus, mind games, taking Keegan out for not taking shots. Well, I didn't say it wasn't his fault. I just say it wasn't all his fault. I think at the time, I still agree with this, there's blame to go around. You can control what you can control. But, you know, because we've talked about the roster balance, I think we still agree that, like, if the Kings need to go to another step and, you know, win in the playoffs, there's going to have to be a tweak to balance things, right? There's a lot of guards on this team. That still remains. And then you had, what else was going to say? Oh, just the players. Like, the players made some, like, crazy mistakes in games sometimes.
Like so, where they were missing wide open threes where it wasn't.
Or just breakdowns defensively that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah. There's so many things that were leading to like, oh my God, this roster and these players, like what is happening? And then when you did see this change actually happen and actually work, which track record show that doesn't usually happen, you got to see a little bit more of what they're capable as players.
Emily says, any thoughts on Monty McNair addressing the Mike Brown firing for the first time yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
It was so brief. Was it enough? Yeah. So he sat down with Mark Jones on NBC Sports California. They aired that on the pre and post game shows last game after the Kings played the Boston Celtics. Look, if people were asking for my advice on this, I would say that I would have addressed it like straight up in the beginning. Explain why. Hey, we reached this as a collective. We just felt this team needed a jolt. We were losing a ton of games at home. We were losing close games. And as a group, we looked at it and thought, we have to make this difficult decision. And then the results have been great for us so far, right? Doug's done a good job. 6-1, blah, blah, blah. That, I think you just address it straight on. I still maintain that they should have had a press conference because you still want others to ask questions.
Yep. Different
Let's
outlets.
Be honest, Mark Jones, he's a play-by-play announcer for the Kings. It's going to be a friendly environment, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with him doing that conversation with Mark Jones, but I think in addition, he should also talk to the media. That's my take on it.
Fair?
Fair.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the question, Emily.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to say, you're so welcome.
What was my other point I was going to make? Oh, someone had a great comment on Reddit. I read too much Reddit. I think it was on the NBA Reddit. And it was, Mike Brown comes to your team and your team becomes way better. Mike Brown leaves your team and the team becomes better. I was like, wow. And it goes to show you, like, Mike Brown, I definitely think, maintain, like, he was the right coach at the right time for the Kings.
Yeah.
And maybe now, especially with this win now mindset they have, adding DeMar DeRozan, the expectations changed and the results weren't there.
So. It's just crazy because if the Kings weren't on this winning streak right now, we wouldn't be feeling this way.
Right.
And it's just, it's why, but no. And, and I guess my point is, like, this doesn't happen all the time. And it's just wild that out of all places it's happening is in Sacramento, where usually when shit goes down, it's like, okay, the rest of the season shit, everything else is shit. We need to break mirrors, well, make vision boards, dude, do what we can do.
What did I say right after the decision? One of the first lines I said when they fired Mike Brown.
I don't remember.
I said, typically when you fire a coach at this point of the year, you're punting the season.
Yes.
Well, they definitely haven't punted.
No.
They're scoring touchdowns left and right. It's insane.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk some DeMar DeRozan.
Yes.
Returned to Chicago, played there 3 years, averaged 25.5 points per game when you play with the Bulls. Some good moments there on teams that you talk about the ultimate what if with Chicago. Like, had that team been healthy, when they were healthy, they looked like a really good team in the East. But injuries to Lonzo Ball, who was in the starting lineup tonight for the first time in a long time. God.
Knocking Lonzo, down every three.
I was so irritated. He came into this game shooting 31.8% from three and it hits five of them.
He was Are you kidding me? He was feeling good. And anyway, they were deflating.
I was happy to see his journey to get back and to be in the starting lineup, replacing Kobe White, who was out tonight. Happy, happy for him. What were we talking about? Oh, DeMar DeRozan. You know, like, they dealt with LaVine injuries, his injury, Patrick Williams. They had so many injuries, so they never reached the heights I think they thought they could with that group. Anyway, of course, DeMar, like, the first thing you see is him reunite with Billy Donovan, and they have, like, the biggest love, like, hug. You could tell, like, everybody loves DeMar DeRozan. And then his game tonight, missed some good looks early, but then again, closing time, hitting big-time shots, like, tough ones. As always, the Bulls were throwing double teams. Billy Donovan said after the game, like, yeah, I've seen him. I'm going to have to throw double teams at him. Yeah. I know what he's about. And he still made big shots. He had 21 points, 9 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, there was a time late where a double team was thrown at him. And he, like, waited all the way until the double team was at him. And I was like, what is he doing? Like, get rid of the ball. And then he still made something happen. Yeah, like, he still somehow made something happen. Like, he knows what he's doing for the most part when that double's being thrown at him. And, you know, I keep the last couple of games, you really look at DeMar DeRozan and what he's been doing, especially toward the end of games. And of course, you would love to see him make every basket he takes and not be 9 for 20 and whatever. He was missing 17 field goals the night against Boston and then however many more the night before. Like, he hasn't been efficient, but one, that gets covered up a little bit more when you're winning. I was asked on the post-game show, like, yeah, you see DeMar with 20 and Monk with 17 and Keegan only with 12. Do you want to see that go up? And I said, I don't give a shit, except I didn't say shit on the broadcast. I was like, I don't give a shit as long as the W is at the end of the game. Whoever's shooting the ball, I don't care if it's coming off the bench and it's Trey Lyles with 20 attempts because he's making every shot. Like, don't care if it's winning basketball. And I guess my point to this is, even with DeMar sometimes 9 of 20, taking a lot of shots, they're finding ways to win, and he's making the buckets when they matter most right now.
And he looks like he's more comfortable in this system as well. And he's comfortable playing in a fast system. He probably just can't practice all the time because he's 35 years old and played in the league a long ass time. But 21 points for him in this game. In the chat, Scout Recycler was wondering, hey, when was the last time the Kings won 7 in a row? You have to go back to November 2022. The last time they won 8 in a row, 2003-04 season. The most wins in a row in the Sacramento era came in the 2001-02 season.
that Christie was also on that team when the Kings won 12 in a row that year. That was a magical
12
season.
12 in a row? Wow.
We got more of the podcast coming up. We're going to hear from De'Aaron Fox, what he had to say in his first game back, a little bit of Doug Christie. And I have an important question for the chat and Morgan Reagan.
Okay.
About this starting lineup. Do you stick with it?
Oh, is that a tease? Okay.
We'll talk about that in just a second.
Why wouldn't you? Okay.
But we'll mention that tonight's podcast is presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. Morgan Reagan, we are
one
with Golden One. So many perks if you're a Golden One member and a Kings fan. You can join and save up to 50% off Kings home games, 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the team store. And how about upgrades during games? Sometimes you go, hey, show your Golden One card, everybody. And you wave it. And Scott Freshour goes, you upgrade.
Literally.
You in a contest.
Golden ticket. Just for being a member. And there's so many benefits. And obviously, you can start that financial journey today just by scanning that QR code on the screen.
Yeah, you can see their range of products and services to help you start your financial journey today. Go to goldenone.com. We appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Also presented today by our friends over at Rocket Money.
Oh, Deuce, the start of a new year. It's 2025, and I guess all my Excel sheets are old news. Yes, I used to budget on only Excel sheets, and now I have Rocket Money. It's an app on my phone. It's easy. It shows me everything, and they have so many different ways that you can save money. They send you alerts. It's way more helpful than I ever thought. I was like just so boomerish with the way I was going about my Excel sheets.
Well, you got to be a Zoomer like me, know what's going on. Zoomer. And for those of you who don't know what's going on, I've got to tell you, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features.
People wasting a lot of money. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/gameon. That's rocketmoney.com/gameon.
rocketmoney.com/gameon. Also presented by our friends of our Northwest Exteriors. Morgan Reagan, why should the people go to Northwest Exteriors if they need new windows at their house?
Well, I could tell you lots of different reasons that we've already told you, but they do have a current sale going on as well. You can upgrade your window system during their 30th anniversary sale. That is 7 windows and a patio door for a huge discount. If you're just looking even for windows, though, and you're like, oh, this is so intimidating. Do I need to do anything to my house? You probably do. I didn't realize how much money I could save just by getting new windows, and also my house way, way prettier now.
So go to northwestexteriors.com or check out their showroom because they are amazing. Go to northwestexteriors.com, Morgan Reagan, because they are also
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Good job. Beautiful.
All right. The live chat was asked this question. Who was the player of the game?
Ooh.
Who is simply the best player of the game?
Good answer.
The options, Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, DeMar DeRozan, or Malik Monk. What a close contest we have.
Oh.
But there can only be one winner.
Ooh. That was my drum roll.
44% of the people voted for Domantas Sabonis. Let's see if it matches up to what we have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Domantas Sabonis. Domantas Sabonis.
Domantas Sabonis.
He's our simply the best player of the game. 22 points, 16 rebounds, 8 dimes on 8 of 11 shooting, 1 of 2 from 3 in 38 minutes for the second consecutive game. He is our simply the best player of the game. The next vote was De'Aaron Fox with 43%.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
It was a close call. And great job by De'Aaron again after being out the last couple, after taking a very hard fall. So, so much fun.
Morgan, this starting lineup, Fox, yeah. Monk, DeRozan, Murray, Sabonis, I feel like at times it has been clunky, right? We saw it go off to a nice start. through stretches when Mike Brown put Monk in the lineup and then it kind of went haywire.
Yeah.
We haven't seen this full lineup a ton under Doug Christie.
Okay.
Right? Because Keegan was out and De'Aaron was out.
Yep.
Tonight, early on at least, it felt a little clunky at times.
De'Aaron coming back for the first time in a couple games.
And I guess that's my question is, you know, you've seen what Keon can do defensively. Mm-hmm. Is it better to have more of a defensive tone set early? You put Keon in there for maybe Malik and still play Malik big minutes? Or do you want to see more of a sample size with this group under Doug Christie?
I think it just depends on the matchup. But also, I want to see a bigger sample size of this under Doug Christie. I mean, there's a time in this game where within his rotation, they went small. And that could have been in the third, actually, when they had Trey and Devin in. And it felt like everything was so fast, like even faster than without Domas on the floor, right? And I'm not thinking in my head, oh, this is the starting group just because you're playing so fast right now. My point to that being is I think there's so many positives with what they have with the starting group now that you just make that substitution quick if you feel like you needed that extra boost of defense.
I think sometimes you wonder, going back to the chef thing we were just talking about with Sabonis, let him cook, if you have too many chefs in the kitchen. And there are times where, you know, it's like, oh, wait, Fox is not really involved, or, you know, Malik's not really involved, or Debo's not involved. And if you stagger that a little better, maybe it's a little smoother at times. It's not necessarily because it's like, oh, Monk doesn't deserve to be a starter. It's just trying to set the right tone, have the right flow to things.
Get involved
to start
in different ways. Your basketball players, get involved in different ways.
I think it's something to watch. I do.
Okay.
Because the point you just mentioned is like, yeah, you mentioned that lineup in the late third quarter that got it going for Sacramento. I thought the pace was really good. You had Fox, you had Devin Carter, Herter, Lyles, and Sabonis. And then it was Fox, Carter, DeMar, Keegan, and Lyles. So there were some good things from that group with that, especially that last one that played the final 253 and to start that fourth quarter. To me, it's something I'm going to watch, but I'm in the area where I'm like, you know what? I want to see more with Doug Christie leading the charge. And you're right. Like, it was De'Aaron's first game back. Like, he's clearly still getting back into shape.
It's that, but it's also like not only just him getting in shape. Remember when I said he was slow in the beginning, but he finished with 9 rebounds. You know, so that my point is, just because if you are not making the most impact with scoring, but you're doing other things and you're getting the freaking W at the end of the game, I don't give a shit how many shots you're taking. I don't care how many you are making. Make sure as a team you're getting the W. I don't even care how much you're getting paid. Get the wins. Keep stacking up the wins.
Okay, I think I know what you want. Wins. Got it.
Thank you.
Let's hear from De'Aaron Fox in his first game back with the Kings after missing the last few, after taking that nasty fall against Memphis. Here's what he had to say after the Kings' victory in Chicago.
7 games during this run under Doug.
I think he's bringing a type of energy that's a little bit contagious. I mean, like I said before, like he's the same guy that he was, but like whenever you're at the front of the helm, I feel like you're probably feeling it a little more. But we got a good thing going right now, so you know you want to continue to play at a high level. And I mean, playing this team, obviously Zach's been doing what he's been doing, but I mean they've been playing at a high level as well. So to be able to come in here and get a win is always good.
You guys had 33 assists and only 7 turnovers. I know you guys have talked about Doug simplifying the offense. Could you explain that a little bit more? What's a little bit more simple in terms of what you guys are doing offensively?
I mean, obviously, you just try to get high drags, point actions. Like, it's stuff that everybody in the league basically runs, but you have to be able to do it with pace, and you have to be able to attack every single time that you're going down the court. So, like, those are just the little nuances of it. Like, if you watch Memphis play, like, that's pretty much all they do. Like, they're not running a ton of plays. They have a bunch of guys that can shoot the ball and get downhill, and that's what they do at a high level. So that's kind of something that we're doing right now, and I think we're doing it at a high level.
You and DeMar, I think, combined for 18 in the fourth quarter. Obviously, you guys are known for your fourth quarter scoring. Is there any sense of what this game meant to DeMar and finishing down the stretch in particular meant to him?
Yeah, I mean, you always want to beat a team that you previously played for. Truthfully, no matter how good like y'all's relationship was, good or bad, I mean everybody here loves him. So like I would assume that he had a good relationship while he was here. But you always kind of pick it up a little bit whenever you're playing against guys that you've played with before. So it was definitely big for us to get a win for him here, and try to move on to the next one.
How are you feeling physically?
I feel okay. I mean, my wind was a little gone, obviously not playing for, I think, like 11 or 12 days, but that is what it is. I go out there and I try to affect the game.
So there's De'Aaron Fox after the Kings win. The first thing he talked about was just the fact that Doug's energy is contagious. And I think there are so many people worried about how, well, it's funny how we've gone in ways with the De'Aaron thing, Morgan, because at first he was responsible for Mike Brown getting fired, right?
No, we didn't say
I'm talking about the narrative. He got him fired. Yeah, yep. He wanted them out. And then a picture of Mike Brown going to dinner with De'Aaron mm-hmm. after getting let go meant that De'Aaron was unhappy, didn't want to be here, blah, blah, blah. He seems pretty happy. You know what I mean? Like, by the way, I think you can like Mike Brown and to go, you know what? I kind of dig the energy and the vibes from Doug Christie, and I like how we're playing right now.
Some people, it doesn't have to be black or white. Like, there can be gray area and so many different aspects of life.
In 2025? Yes.
Well,
what?
Even in 2025, especially when it comes to coaching changes.
Yeah. Speaking of Doug Christie, here's what he had to say after the Kings win tonight.
More than anything, you know, it's not always going to be exactly how we want it or what we want, but finding a way to win. 3 30-point quarters, hold them to 24 in the fourth. Super excited for DeMar coming back. You know, those are always moments that you're excited for your players to try to make sure that they represent when they've played in the city and sacrificed in the city. And I think the guys wanted to win for DeMar as well. But a lot of really good effort and just more than anything, finding a way to win. And that's how it's going to be some nights.
Like, you guys only turned the ball over 7 times. The guys have talked about your simplification of the offense.
Yeah.
Could you explain sort of what you're simplifying and what you're asking of them in that regard?
Just allowing them to play to their strengths. I think sometimes we get into actions that aren't really actions, like just get to the business. Like, there's no need to do a lot of other stuff on top of the fact that we want to drive, kick, swing, and move the basketball, so it gives us more time to do that. Allowing them to just kind of use their special talents. I mean, Fox is fast. He can handle the basketball. He can get to the rack. Malik is the same way. DeMar is one of the best ISO players in the game, so you put him in position. Domas's rolling ability. Like, when you go down the list, Keegan's shooting. We got some defenders on the wings. Like, all those different things, trying to just, you know, don't make it hard, just go get at it, and we live with the results, and let's, on the other end of the floor, let's lock arms and play really hard on that end.
What was it like? Neither team led by double digits at any point. I think there were 28 lead changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you're coaching a game like that, what are you focused on in the details?
Win, more than anything. You know, trying to find a way. Like I said, Zach is an incredible player, so, like, you're not going to stop him. But trying to find a way to slow him down, trying to keep the guys positive about, you know, get back at it. I'm not going to call a timeout every time I think that there's a flow. If it's big enough, call a timeout. Otherwise, I trust you guys, and you guys got to learn how to trust yourself in those moments where it gets hard, it gets tough, but – we need to not micromanage the situation. You guys got to solve the riddle and the problem. And they continue to do that by striking back, hitting some big shots, fighting on the glass. Like, those are things that there's nothing that I'm necessarily doing but trusting them to be the greatest versions of themselves.
And I know you mentioned, you know, the team wanting to win for DeMar, but what was your sense from him and sort of his motivations in this game, and particularly in the fourth quarter, those moments?
You know, I don't think anything more than wanting to win. You know, there's nothing negative or personal like that. No, not at all. He's a class A guy. Like, he didn't – that's not the vibe. The vibe is, like, you just – I was here, and we're coming back, and let's handle the business and make sure that we walk out of here with the check in the left column and not the right column.
Mentioned that he showed the videos of you because it would help the team, yeah, you know, when they look at you and know that you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that helps them. How much do you appreciate that? Like, what does that mean to you that he would, a player, a leadership,
yeah,
in a leader role, would do something like that?
I would tell you it's priceless, man. I mean, that's the type of trust, love, and respect I want out of all of them. But having that time with DeMar in the summer, watching how he gets down, and then really just always being 100 with him and trusting him to do his thing, for him to show that in that moment, it says a lot about who he is, but it says a lot about our team and what we're trying to – it's together. It's like I'm not separate as a coach. They're not separate as players. They have their room. I have my room. But at the same time, we are together as one, and it's not a hand. It's a fist.
Fox is back. I think tonight might have been, or today might have been the first time you've had your entire roster healthy. Yeah. How'd you feel Fox looked, and how'd you feel about your rotations, and what was it like just to look down the bench and know all your guys were there?
Yeah, it's a good feeling. I mean, it gets tough. I'm sure guys want to play more, and when Fox comes back, Fox is Fox, and he is special. So to come back after a layoff and still, you know, you look up and it's like, yeah, he's got 24 or whatever he has, and he just covers the stat sheet. He makes big shots. It's a blessing to have that, and I don't ever overlook that as a coach. It's like, that's him. That's Domas. That's DeMar. That's Malik. That's what they do. And I'm never thinking that I'm anything more than the person that tries to allow them to be everything they think they want to be and put them in a position to do that.
There's Doug Christie after this Kings win. God, man. Making me believe, Morgan. It's making me believe. I know he's got the guys believing in that locker room right now. And what he said after the last win, when they beat Boston the other mm-hmm. night, was pretty special. This clip, and then I want to get more of your reaction. This is what he was talking about after the win. Oh, man.
That wasn't it?
No, that wasn't it. I know. I thought I had it. It's fun. You know what? We're live. This is the fun of being live.
You're right.
Just enjoy
you're so right.
the moment, you know? Okay. Yeah, here we go. This is the actual clip. And here's what Doug had to say after that.
That I say more than anything is you guys believe in yourself. And when you do that, shit changes because they can feel that. So every time we hit the court, we believe in us and them.
Every time we hit the court, we believe in us and fuck them.
Ugh. What a vibe.
So I ask you after hearing Doug Christie
and
the sample size we've seen, 8 games now, right?
With Doug.
They're 7-1. They've won 7 in a row. They're 20-19, climbing up the Western Conference standings. They're in 9th tonight and a half game out of 8th. They're 1 game out of 7th, a game and a half out of 6th, Morgan, and just 2 games out of 5th. Are you believing in the Sacramento Kings?
How could you not? I think although it's a small sample size, it's a big enough sample size. Whether you're playing teams that are shorthanded or not, like the Celtics, not, you're playing a style that you can just trust and believe with your eyeballs, right? I mean, how, and then the stats back it up, and then the W's are backing up. And so I don't know. I'm sitting here today going, yeah, like why can't this be a winning product? You dug yourself in a hole, but you sure as hell are finding some steps out of there. Dude, my God.
You took out of it fast. You're like, back above 500.
Like, oh, a few tree roots in this hole. Okay.
My great. Goodness. I believe, too, I believe that this team is reaching its potential. I still maintain that this team needs some reinforcements. It doesn't change the fact that I look at the backup center spot and go, I would like another option there, right? They've been rolling with some Trey Lyles backup 5, and that has worked against some of these matchups.
You didn't ask me about change. You asked me about belief, just FYI.
Oh, but I think like, it goes
you
together.
Know what? Well, because my thing is, absolutely, it doesn't mean that everything's perfect. Yeah. Like, so just because I believe in this product right now does not mean that it is even sustainable for next season or maybe even the rest of this season if they really did want to see more success at the end of this season. So, yeah, go proceed.
I guess my point is I believe that this team is a good team. When I see it now, the way they're playing to what I thought they could be before the season, right?
Okay.
I was sitting here before the season thinking they could be a 50-win ball club.
Yeah.
And I still felt like they had flaws. I think a couple of things have shifted, right? Not only Doug Christie, but like now Keon Ellis is playing consistently.
Yeah.
We've been talking about that since early in the season. Great. You had to see more Keon Ellis. He's too good not to play. He's playing now. Yep. He is a vital part of what they do. Yep. He's in the rotation. We didn't know what Devin Carter was going to be, what his impact could be. I'll tell you this, Morgan. We didn't even know when he was going to come back. He came back earlier than expected. I think Devin has given them some really strong minutes defensively. His confidence. He's not scared at all.
Mm-mm.
He could defend some bigger guys.
NBA ready.
That's been a boost. And mm-hmm. as Ben says, he donates saying, hey, do some 48 minutes of Keon and Devin is the future. Lyles has been huge. His injury was very underrated earlier in the season. 7 in a row. Let's go. The Lyles dynamic too.
Fair.
Getting injured not once, but twice.
Yep.
That impacted things early
rotations,
on.
Rotations. Yeah. It impacted how they were trying to get a flow of things. Him as an individual. Yeah. Yes.
So I think this group that's like healthy right now together, you got Devin in the fold, Keon's playing. There's definitely some great signs. I believe in it. I believe in the style of play. I believe in the effort that I'm seeing. The offense is looking like the offense that I thought it could be. The question will be in the next few weeks, how does it look? Do they continue playing good basketball?
Yeah.
Look, they're going to, I have some breaking news.
Oh no.
They're going to lose at some point.
Yeah.
All right.
Good breaking news.
They're going to lose a game. It's going to happen. But can you play can you win 15 of 20?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you're in a good position where you're like, okay, now do we take a swing at something that we think can elevate us, maybe, you know, balance out our roster a little bit and take us to another level?
So you believe in everything, but do you believe in the beam? Do you?
Yes, I believe in the beam. Dude, I just can't believe, also, the sun just went down in Sacramento an hour ago. I guess they would wait to light the beam. It's crazy to have an afternoon beam. So the beam is probably up. Could probably look out the window and see.
Oh, big purple beam.
Where is it going to go? Oh, next up for the Kings.
Yep.
We talk about keeping this going. They finished a road trip in Milwaukee. Before the road trip, I said, give me 2-1. Give me 2-1. Well, they got 2. Now you want to get gritty and you take on a Bucks team that got hammered.
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 By the Knicks.
By the Knicks. The Knicks bounce back. A little different. You know, the Bucks got off to a slow start. Chris Middleton now coming off the bench for them. They made some changes there. Torian Prince is now starting. So they get Milwaukee to end the road trip. I mean, it's Giannis, dude. Giannis has killed the Kings. It's gonna be tough.
He's a rebounding machine. Yeah. He can just get into the paint, score.
And who could forget the game in Milwaukee last year when the Kings were up and Dame Lillard for the win? Remember the breakdown?
Oh,
and
he got God.
The Kings missed some free throws down the stretch. They had, it was probably one of those two games in a row. It's amazing my brain still remembers this. It was Milwaukee and Phoenix. At Milwaukee, at Phoenix. Two of the best games the Kings played, and they lost both of them. The first one was the Dame game winner. The next one, the Kings were up 18 with 5 to play.
Ooh.
That's when Morgan had a concussion.
Yes.
And
I don't remember.
But, I mean, the Bucks are obviously beatable.
Well, is this going to be the Brooke Lopez, Trey Lyles revenge game once again? You know?
I forgot all about that a couple of years ago in Sacramento. Forget. Milwaukee right now, they are sitting in the 6th spot in the East. They are 20-17. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. They've lost one in a row. Imagine having lost a game.
Losers.
I'm sorry. Losing games?
What's that like?
So 2 weeks ago.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Hold on. There's other teams that have lost.
Wait. Teams lose? That's what people do?
Well, the Celtics have a one game streak. Whoa! Settle down. Who else has a long streak? Oh, give it up to the Pacers. They beat the Cavs tonight. Legit. They've won 6 in a row.
Why did you just get serious? Okay.
Because, you know,
I was having way more fun being petty and stupid.
Although Tyrese got hurt in that game. Hamstring issue. So we'll see on that.
Okay.
All right. Other than that, let's see who else has a long win streak. Okay. Other teams in the West. Give it up to the Nuggets. 3 in a row. All right.
All right. Try not to laugh. Try not to laugh. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right. The Houston Rockets, they've won three in a row.
I remember winning three in a row 4 games
that
ago.
That was like a week ago. Could you imagine celebrating three in a row?
Yes, I could. Because I did.
Let me know when you get five, and I guess we'll, let us know when you get five, and maybe we'll acknowledge it. I mean, I don't, what do you want?
Oh, my God.
Corey says the Cavs. Oh, let's look at the updated Cavs. Oh, the Cavs, their streak is they've lost one.
Oh, God. We're not talking about the streak before that. No, we're not. We're talking about right now.
We're so stupid.
So dumb.
That's why you just enjoy these moments.
Absolutely.
You know? Final thoughts. I guess my final thought is Morgan started this podcast this evening, the pre-show, with a new song. And she said, maybe by the end of it, I'll do it again. Because Deuce Mason thought it could have been executed at a higher level.
I thought
so,
that was Simon Cowell that said that.
My final thought is, I wonder if Morgan Reagan can bring me back a little big, what's it called?
Big Purple Beam.
Big Purple Beam. Her latest song.
I feel like we should make it a little bit more dramatic, though. Okay. Like,
Oh, yeah. Turn down the lights.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Behind me. That needs to be behind me.
Yeah. Hold on. But it might take a second to warm up.
That's okay. Let it warm.
Okay. You turn the lights down more. Little more. Just, okay. Or you think it's good?
I think that's good. Okay. Wait, should I do a little bit more?
Yeah.
It's a This is the second time it's ever being performed. I don't even know the words.
And honestly, there's a lot of pressure on you to.
Why?
You gotta fucking nail this.
No, it's just about fun.
But it's also about like nailing this too.
Okay. Do you like the purple light on me?
I do like the purple, although it needs to be evened out. A little on me too. A little on me.
Oh, but you're not performing.
But I kind of am in some ways.
Okay, are you my backup singer?
People see me in the background. Big I'm purple like beam. Reacting.
Harmonize. No.
I'm not performing this.
You just said you needed some of the light because you're...
I'm... Just trust the process.
Okay. Okay.
Hold on. All right, I'm ready.
Okay. I'm so glad you're ready to perform. Okay. I know.
Sorry.
I know we wanted him to stay, but they couldn't ignore the losses or the team in disarray. And I heard that there's no special play. The team's just playing freely. And now it's been 7 games. I'm seeing shots be made, assisted every play, smelling salts maybe, the perfect energy. Is this winning streak lasting through the week? Is the beam okay? We've seen it every day. What have you done? You've won 7 straight, and it's been so much fun, ODC. And I'm loving it all on the Deucimo pod. Just talking some ball. It's time for Big Purple Beam. I'm gonna keep on looking at the Big Purple Beam. I'm gonna keep on shining on the G1C. I'm gonna keep on looking at the Big Purple Beam. Big Purple Beam.
Woo! Wow. The fog added to it.
Simon.
Amazing. Let's give it up. Morgan, Reagan, and who could forget the great Coach Nick?
That's ridiculous. Fire you know, the laser.
Give me a hell yeah.
That's the final thought. My final thought, I would like Simon Cowell from American Idol to give me
hello, an update. Hello. Better. Yeah. You're moving on.
Yeah!
Welcome to Sacramento.
Yes! Oh.
Now, in the live chat, if you loved what Morgan just did, make sure to give us a thumbs up. I'm going to look real fast because we had a massive audience again today. We should have like 800 thumbs up. 450, you might as well just slap me in the face because that is not good enough. You basically said Morgan sucks. That number should be at like 1,000.
Whether you thought the song was good or bad, give a thumbs up. It'll let us know if it's good or bad. Thank you.
Nick in the chest is absolutely dreadful.
That's a good Simon Cowell reference right there.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
I take that as
also,
a compliment.
Also, after the show, make sure to hop in the comments after. Talk about the Kings, how you're feeling. Maybe you grade Morgan's performance. If you have any ideas on other songs that we should do, or Morgan should do.
That's a really good beam.
It was a really good beam. Let us know in the comments below. Also, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review. It just helps some more basketball sickos around the basketball universe find out what we're doing. We love you guys so, so, so much. But we's gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. Thanks for being here. Go look at the beam. See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.